Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 4. Our text this morning is in verse 22. Jesus speaking to the woman of Samaria said, "You worship, you know not what." That is, you don't have any understanding about what you're worshiping. We know, that is, we Jews, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now, I'll give you a little bit of background on the Samaritans. The Samaritans were a conglomerate of people. If you'll turn back in your Bibles to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 17. We find here how the Samaritans came to be. And the king of Assyria, that's in verse 24. The king of Assyria, see, he had conquered Israel. That's Israel was the northern tribes, had conquered them. And what he did, he took the Jews out of Samaria. And then he tells us here in verse 24, "And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon, from Cutha, and from Ava, and from Hamath, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel, and they possessed Samaria and dwelt therein." And then there's quite a bit. You can read that history on your own. They then brought a priest that had been exiled. They brought him to teach the people about God, but it was just a conglomerate mess. There were every kind of god that you can imagine, all of those horrible pagan deities that had child sacrifice and all that kind of thing. So that's where the Samaritans got their start. And so when the Lord says to her, "You don't know what you worship," he was making the statement very clear so that she could understand that she was worshiping. Even though they worshiped, they received the first five books of Moses, but they rejected the 34 other books of the Old Testament. They were just a mongrel religion, if you please. And Christ says, "You don't know what you're worshiping." And then he makes this glorious statement in a single sentence. Salvation is of the Jews. Now, if you want to think about it, that was a tremendous statement. That was an all-encompassing statement. That was a statement that I'm sure the disciples of the Lord weren't expecting, but it resonated with everyone that knew anything of the truth. Salvation is of the Jews. Always has been of the Jews, and it always will be, that salvation came and comes through the Jews. So we want to preach this morning on Christ's glorious sentence, salvation is of the Jews. First of all, I want you to see that Christ, by this statement, verified the scripture in this sentence. When he said salvation is the Jews, he was simply saying that the scriptures of the Old Testament, that's all that was in written, you understand, the scriptures of the Old Testament are God's revelation to his people, the Jews, and it tells the way of salvation, and it's the only way of salvation. Salvation comes through the Jews. Now, I want you to note that he didn't say it comes by the Jews, or that it's something that they do that brings salvation. No, he didn't say that. But it comes through the Jews, and I illustrate that like this. If you got a spring of water, it's downhill, and that's what my sister and her husband had. They had a spring of water that was down the hill, much better than well water. And so what they did, they piped it up to the house. Now, understand, the pipe that brought that water from the spring to the house did not make the water. It conducted the water. It brought the water to the house. The spring supplied the water. And so it was with the Jews. They were like pipe bringing water from the spring, but they didn't make the water. They didn't originate the water. They didn't find the water. It was a gift of God. So the whole scripture is here by Christ's word verified. Christ is saying, in essence, the scriptures are the revelation that I have given unto my people, the Jews. And that's so essential. If you don't get this idea that salvation is of the Jews, you can wander all over and go into all kinds of things. So this closes out now the Old Testament as far as the fulfillment was concerned in Jesus Christ. All of those Old Testament types were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now, there are many prophecies of things that are going to be done that are still future that come out of the Old Testament. But everything that was at that time then fulfilled were fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And he said to his disciples, I sent you to reap where you didn't sow. You were able to gather in what you had no part in producing. You didn't have to plant the crop, so to speak, but you got to reap it. And that's what they were doing. They were reaping. And so the Old Testament scriptures are verified by the Lord Jesus Christ. That means all 39 books from Genesis to Malachi, every one of them is the scripture of God, inspired, came out of God, revealed of God, and that's significant. And so we want to always be able to grasp that doctrine. Secondly, Christ confirmed here when he said salvation is the Jews, he confirmed the doctrine of election. You say, well, how did he do that? You have to go back. Let us turn back to the book of Genesis, chapter 12. And I want you to see what the scripture says now and how the Jews got their start. And in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, and the Lord God had said unto Abram, get you out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless you and curse them. I want you to think about Adolf Hitler. Did he curse the Jews? What happened to him? Was he cursed? He went down. And the whole German nation went down. The thousand-year Reich only lasted a handful of years. And curse him that curses you. And in you, you Jews, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And he's talking here about that ultimate blessing of salvation. He's not just talking about temporal good, nor he's not talking about economics or that kind of thing. He's talking about that real blessing, the blessing of salvation that comes from God, and it comes through the nation of Jews. Salvation is from the Jews. So, notice in Psalm with me, 147, that this is a very particular blessing. Psalm 147 and verses 19 and 20. He showed his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. Were there no other nations in the world? Of course there were. Did he show these things to those other nations? Absolutely not. Verse 20, he hath not so dealt with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. All the nations that surrounded Israel and Abraham at the time when the Lord spoke these words received no benefit from him, nor from those words, nor did they believe them, nor did they want to be a part of them. This was a choice of God, of Abraham and his posterity, and that is the doctrine of election. Therefore, Israel was a chosen nation, and it is until this day, even though a disobedient nation now. No sacrifice was ever offered in the courts of Israel for any other nation, only for Israel. What does that tell you? That tells you that Israel was an elect nation. God was dealing with them. And so when Jesus said, we know what we worship, he wasn't mincing words. We know the truth. We know where the revelation of God came from and how it was given to Abraham and on down through his people till this very day. Those who oppose the doctrine of election are fighting against God and rejecting God's word. And that election of the nation is what gave it its cohesion. But it didn't mean that every person in that nation was saved, because God's particular election then selected those out of the nation, and they were the special ones of God. Thirdly, this great and glorious sentence of Jesus, salvation is of the Jews, vacates every other religion that ever existed in the world that didn't come through the Jews. That is, if you don't have the religion that God started with Abraham, and that was brought on down through with all the prophets coming and bringing the message of God, and then Christ coming out of Israel, out of the Jews, as the Redeemer, the Messiah, as he announced to this woman later in the chapter, every religion was vacated of having any value or worth whatsoever. In fact, it's worse than that. You take the Baha'i religion, you take Shinto, Hinduism, Buddhism, all of those religions are doornail dead and they have no value whatsoever. I don't care what they say. I don't care about when you go to college and they say, well, you need to take a comparative religion course so you can understand the religions of the world. And I studied some of that when I was in college. But I can tell you right now that it is absolutely worthless. And as far as the worship of God is concerned, it never gets off the ground because it doesn't recognize that salvation is of the Jews. That's so important for us. All the religions of the world were wiped off by Christ's statement. Salvation is the Jew. Doesn't make any difference what you think. Doesn't make any difference what a man says. If you worship a right, you're going to worship according to what God has revealed in the scripture. Now there's thousands of other religions that have risen since Jesus uttered these words, many of them wearing the name of Christ. You know, this woman wore the name of Christ. She said, "We know that when Messiah comes, he'll tell us all things." See, she knew about the Messiah. Claimed she was worshiping him. Was she? Absolutely not. Salvation is the Jew. You're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong religion. You're worshiping is contrary to what God has revealed, and it's of no value. You don't even know what you're worshiping. All of these religions, all of these false churches, all of these preachers that do not follow the scriptures are worshiping in vain. Turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 7. And look with me at verse 21. Matthew 7, 21. "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." Listen, when you get ready to worship, if you don't worship according to the Father's will, absolutely vain, empty. In fact, it's worse than that because it is anti-God. Notice the next verse. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied or preached in thy name? And in thy name," now they've done miracles, they've cast out devils, "and in thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them," and remember this is the Lord Jesus speaking, the same one that said salvation is the Jews is saying these words, "and then will I," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "profess unto them, I never knew you." You know what that means? They were never saved. Doesn't make any difference what they said. They were never saved. Because Christ says, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." Here are worshiping people. And Christ says, "You don't belong to me." And the problem is, they don't receive the word of God any more than those Samaritan worshipers did. They had the five books of Moses, and if they had followed them closely, they would have known the truth that they needed to go to Jerusalem to worship, because that was the place appointed of God to worship. But so many today, it's the same thing. They do not worship according to the scriptures. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 20. Paul is talking about offering sacrifices to idols. The whole pagan world where Paul was ministering and at the city of Corinth, they had temples of every kind you could imagine. They had so many gods they couldn't keep up with them all. Verse 20, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. Every kind of worship that does not come out of the Jewish revelation is devil worship. That means all these, listen, look at these churches. Look at these churches. I just read about the huge bell in the Cathedral of Cologne in Germany. Now, you know what the Roman Catholics do? When a bell is hung in one of their churches, they have a ritual that they go through, and they anoint this bell, and they burn incense up inside of it, and they do other things. And that bell supposedly prays for them. Now, what do you think about that? Do you not hear the sentence of Jesus Christ? Salvation is the Jews. The Jews never had anything like that. Their religion never allowed anything like that. They couldn't even make the image of things unless God gave them express permission to do so. But you see, they do all of these things and they claim they're worshiping God. They're not worshiping the Lord. The old Puritans, when they went to a funeral of a friend that was a Catholic, they would follow the corpse to the church building with their hats off. But they refused to enter those false churches. When I was in Israel, 1981, I believe it was, our group went to the Dome of the Rock. That's where the temple once stood. It's a Muslim building now. And we were getting ready to go inside. And they said, you got to take your shoes off. I said, I will not take my shoes off for Mohammed. And they said, well, then will you watch our stuff? I said, you bet I will. So I stood outside and I watched everybody's shoes and cameras and whatever they had. And the rest of them went in. But listen, I don't think we ought to do that for those false religions. And I'm not going to show reverence for something that I know is absolutely false. The word that Jesus Christ gave here knocks all the religions that got started even after Christ, but not according to the Jews' religion, as false. And so the Muslim religion is false as well. And they're worshiping demons. Then fourthly, let's note that Christ here condemned sin. Christ never approved of sin. And this is no exception. This woman was a notorious sinner. She was living with a man that wasn't her husband. She had had five husbands. And Jesus said, the one you got now is not your husband. And in that, you spoke the truth. You know what he did when he said salvation is of the Jews? He condemned her. He condemned her sin. He wasn't going to put any approval, because no matter how much some of the Israelites may have departed from what God had commanded, the truth of the scripture was against them or anyone else that sinned. It didn't make any difference who it was. The word of God is against sin. And all you had to do was go back to the law of God. Those 10 commandments that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai expressed the truth of the Jews that God revealed to them. And as a consequence, he's here condemning what this woman was doing. You're not doing right. This woman was living in sin, and Christ rebuked her because of it. And he never put his approval upon any one sin. Now, most preachers, if they'd been talking to this woman, wouldn't have known how to handle that like he did. But he was marvelous at handling this. And you notice how he did there. He said, go call your husband. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. Verse 17, Jesus said unto her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband. In that you said truly. And then he goes right ahead to say, salvation is with you. This woman was looking for some way to validate that false religion on Mount Gerizim, but she couldn't get it from Jesus Christ. He wouldn't do it. Then in the fifth place, and with this I'll close, Christ here, when he said salvation is of the Jews, opened the door to the Gentiles. This woman was a Gentile. She was not a Jew. She was a Gentile. But here he tells her, if you had asked me, I would have given you living water. And she said, give me this water that I don't have to, that I'll never be thirsty and I won't have to come here to draw. And then, see, he goes right on to leading her in this direction until she actually believes that he is the Messiah. And she goes into town and tells the other people, she says, isn't this the Christ? That is a precursor of what's going to take place at the cross when Jesus died. And he said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. The scripture says the curtain, the veil that stood between the holy place and the most holy place tore from the top to the bottom. You know what was going on? The door was being thrown open to the Gentiles. And in Acts chapter 10, I haven't time to turn and read it, but if you'll read it when you get home, you'll see that Peter had this marvelous vision in which the Lord told him to rise up and slay and eat all these unclean animals. I don't know what they were. Could have been dogs, snakes, things that no Jew would have ever tasted. The Lord said, don't you call common or unclean what I have cleansed. Listen, all down through the ages to this text that we're studying this morning, salvation came through the Jews, but it wasn't going to stay there. Because in God's glorious grace, he's going to open the doors of salvation and the Gentiles are going to come in. And that's what is going on in Acts 10. And then you find other great revelations of that truth throughout the epistles of Paul and how Paul took the gospel. And when he preached at these many different places, and in Acts 13, when he preached in the synagogue, the Jews weren't too happy with him. And the Gentiles said, come and preach that same message to us on the next Sabbath day. And they gathered. And when the Jews saw that all those Gentiles were, they became furious. They wanted nothing to do with it. And Paul said it was necessary that the gospel be first preached unto you, you Jews, because salvation is through the Jews. But it doesn't stop there. It is unto whosoever will come and drink of the water of life. Jesus said to this woman, if you had known the gift of God and who it is that's speaking to you, you would have asked him and he would have given you life. Spiritual life. The water of life. Springing up forevermore. And that is the message that came to the Gentiles, and it thrilled their souls, and thousands of them were saved, and it just went throughout the whole Roman Empire. So I say that this text, Salvation is of the Jews, was a precursor of Acts chapter 10, Acts 16, 31. What must I do to be saved? Not a single ordinance was mentioned. Not a single thing that you could do with your hands, but only with the heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That is the glorious message that was conveyed by Jesus in this sentence. Salvation is of the Jews. May the Lord bless you.